Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son. How are ya?
Hi, Bully. Great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got a kit, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
This is a Crowd Podcast.
This episode is sponsored by John Walshy Walsh. To be more like John, go to patreon.com/Joe Marler Show and become an official sponsor today.
Joe Marler is a big-hearted man, and he's got a podcast plan. It's the Joe Marler Show. It's the Joe Marler Show. Oh, oh, oh.
Welcome to... Who's printing something?
Sorry.
Coley, brilliant. Yeah. Fucking Coley's printing. Who the fuck's got a printer these days?
Me.
Welcome to the fifth episode of the Joe and Dan Rugby... No, it's not the Joe and Dan Rugby Show anymore. It is, thanks to my lovely, lovely mother-in-law, the Cauliflower Club. We've decided that's what we're going to call it. So, Dan, welcome to your own club.
Thank you for having me, Joe. How are you this fine week?
Well, no, it's not about me. This is about you. This is your platinum jubilee. This is your coronation chicken. This is a round of applause and a congratulations. Congratulations. Oh, my God. Did you see Cliff Richard at the platinum jubilee the other week?
No. Why? Why the shock?
Oh, mate. I don't know. Well, first of all, his hair is like really dark brown. So clearly not his actual hair, or it is, but it's been dyed. And second of all, he looks like a skeleton with skin.
Nice. That's, I'm sure it's a sight worth seeing then. Would you like to look like Sir Cliff when you're, what is he, like 104? He must be that old, is he?
I ain't making 104, mate. It's not a chance. Anyway, sorry, I got distracted and went off on a tangine. Congratulations on winning your semi-final game and making it to the final of the 2022 Premiership Rugby Premiership. The Rugby Final. The Rugby... Fuck it. Congrats, mate. Well done.
Thanks, Joe. You sound really happy for me, which I'm very appreciative of. Commiserations to yourself, obviously. I enjoyed the build-up to the game. A lot of sort of interesting words that you normally don't see from your side, from Quinn's, you know, or just in sport in general. You know, it's normally played the niceties up and you went the other way, didn't you?
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps we should have gotten to the other angle in hindsight. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. But what is ever said in the week leading up to an event, whether it's a rugby game, a football game, a boxing match, whatever it is, doesn't really ever play a huge part, if any, on the outcome of the actual game. So I just thought, fuck it. When I was asked questions, I'd give an honest opinion of, I despise the place. What they did to the sport a few years back was bad. Bad from them. Bad. But that does not get away from the fact that they have still got an unbelievable rugby team now and were fully deserved winners on the weekend. So we came close, sort of. I think it was half decent effort. The try, the Ben Earl restart try after the second half kickoff was a bit of a killer. But then, as a 10-point game, I still thought we were in it. We'd have probably been better off them not getting sin-binned. I always find that some teams, especially when they're so fucking good in defence normally, they ramp it up another level when they go a man down or two men down, and you're like, oh, fucking hell. It would have been easy with 15 men.
Yeah. I say, if that plays, it frustrates, because you sort of think, oh, we should score, we've got an extra round on the field, blah, 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 and that almost frustrates you further when things don't go your way. And, you know, it plays into the whole psychological side of the game, doesn't it? Which is, but say, it's tough, isn't it? Because, say, you go the whole season. I mean, I think we started pretty much 11 months ago, and then you play the whole season, you get there, and there's sort of a couple of turning points in the game, and you're out, you know what I mean? And then, and it's tough. I don't know what you say, what you've been up to this week, but I always found it, semis finals is like, at least the final, you know, the season ends next week, but with the semi, you gear up, it's like, yeah, we're going to go, you know, in the, you know, go to the final, and it's like, you've lost. Right. Thanks for the season, lads. You know, it's probably, losing the semi is one of the worst, because at least the final, you know, the end of the season is then. Similarly with, like, you know, you go lose, finish 11th in the season, you know, your final game's then. Semis, it's like you gear yourself up for final, and then, yeah, you've lost, and we haven't got a social organised, we haven't got this organised, what are we doing, lads? Brilliant.
I think all your points are really valid, but it would be remiss of me to not point out the fact that your use of semis in all of the last few sentences have got me really somewhat uncomfortable.
You love a good semi, though, don't you?
Like, you hate losing a semi. Yeah, fucking innuendo bingo started again, actually, on Radio 1. It's COVID secure, and that is fucking prime material for that. But no, you're right. Boy, luck. Fortunately for me personally, I had Felix and Pixie's birthday party on Sunday already planned. So I just threw myself into the barbecue for that and socialising with that, whilst the majority of the rest of the squad went on a 3-day bender, all dressed as wrestlers, at some point or other, walking around Southwest London. So, yeah, no, it has been a bit flat. Anyway, on to your game, please, Dan. Unfortunately, as you know, I do love rugby. I do love it. But haven't watched your game. So you're going to have to take the lead on this. All I know is, from a little bit that I read, Northampton was sort of in it in the first half.
Yeah, in most of it. Yeah, Saints, you know, they came and they were tough. I think it was like 6-6 half time. They could have had several chances they could have scored. They got a couple of pullback for knock-ons and stuff like that. And then second half, they went, we had a man in the bin and they went ahead, and we basically had to grind it out from the end.
I'll be honest, Dan, I am actually really, really happy for you personally, but for you boys as a club. You go the whole season on top, and the traditionalist in me is like, well, you've won the league. There should be at least some sort of fucking award. Or like in rugby league, they give you like the league leader's shield, don't they? But then they kind of go, well, means nothing because we've still got the fucking playoffs. But, you know, there should be a recognition, or if our sport was more financially viable, we wouldn't have a playoff system and we'd just chuck it in. But congratulations to you. I am very happy, very, very happy for Steve. just because he's got another week where he has to go to a hotel. I presume you'll go to a hotel on the Friday?
Yep. Probably have spaghetti the night before.
Correct. Just another opportunity for him to go to a hotel and see spaghetti for a pre-match meal or the night before. Just can't wait. Just the thought of Steve walking into the team room, looking all the way down all these food dishes, seeing the spaghetti and just going, ugh, what an absolutely pointless piece of food that is. But the final, mate, how are you excited? You're obviously buzzing because, you know, you look really, really excited or sunburnt. What the fuck is going on with your head?
I was pushing one of my children on the swings the other day. He's like, Daddy, why are your arms so red? I'm like, it's called sunburn. And he's like, you've got arm burn. Your arms are on fire. So I then had to chase him round pretending that my arms were on fire. And it was like, for fuck's sakes, I'm getting done by a 5-year-old here. Just mugging me off.
That image in itself, Dan running around. Can you do your best, like, fire impression just now, please?
No, not for you. but yeah,
I mean, you're not doing a bad job of it all, just sat there looking like fucking Zoidberg from Futurama. You're excited, are you?
Yes. I think one thing, A, you get older, and B, when you've been through some of the, as you know, like, you won a premiership, then you had some not so great years, and then you won another one. And I say, when I first came to Leicester side, we were, you know, I think we reached five finals on the bounce, semis, and every year it was kind of like, oh, we're going to win, or next year. And then you have that, not taken away from you, but you don't, you're not good enough to get back there. And, you know, you appreciate how hard actually winning games of rugby is. Which is something you probably take for granted, or I took for granted early in my career because we just won. Whereas, you know, you finish 11th a couple of seasons, probably should have got relegated, you're very close not to, and you appreciate how hard it is to win, you know, one game of rugby in the Premiership, never mind two, never mind a season's worth, and big games and semis and finals. So, yeah, I think no matter what the outcome on Saturday, it's, you know, obviously you want to win, the whole reason you're there, but you take pride in the fact that we've got there, considering where we were 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. The turnaround that you guys have had under Steve, how long has he been there? Like 20 months now? I read it somewhere, but he's definitely ignited that old Leicester DNA back in you boys. And you can see in the way you all play for each other and for him and the club that you're just loving it again. Not just... Obviously, it's a lot easier to love it when you're winning. Of course it is. But you seem to have that bit of fucking fight and dog about you again, and the buy-in to the systems that Steve's clearly put in place. So I hope, I really, really, really hope that you boys do a job on Saturday. And twofold, really. You know, that will sort of suppress and make my hatred for your opposition slightly happier. You beat them, but also just make me really happy that my old pal has won another trophy. Anyway, so the final will be done on the Saturday, and then there's the traditional Barbarians fixture versus England on the Sunday. Boys back in the mix. Danny Kerr, the other DC, is back in the mix. He is 4 years in the wilderness, and the Beaver's gone, mate, fancy coming back for a run around? What do you think to that, Deez? I mean, what do you think about DC returning DRC?
It's really good. I think, you know, he's fully deserved. He's been one of the form nines or players in the Premiership this year. And, you know, he has obviously a lot of international experience. He knows the game. And I think, you know, he has spoken about his differences before, but it's 4 years later, whatever it is, and he's got a chance to... Sometimes I think when you have something like, again, you're not international rugby, you never want to say you take it for granted, but you get in the system of, you know, you play Six Nations, you then do this, you go on summer tour, then you do autumn, and it's just a conveyor belt of rugby. And it's only when you sort of either injury or selection, or yeah, it gets, you're not selected, you realise what a privilege it was to play, and you kind of think back, what would I have done differently? Oh, I wouldn't, you know, and then you have time to adjust, and sometimes you never get a second opportunity, but DC has, and hopefully takes it with both hands.
Yeah, you touched on the differences that maybe have been mentioned in the past between him and the Beaver. What if, actually, because DC was meant to fly out with the Barbarians on Sunday morning to Monaco and then play in the fixture against England, what if the Beaver got wind of it and then went, right, here's my payback. I'm going to call him into England camp. I'm going to dangle this little carrot. That's not a euphemism. I mean, like, just an analogy version. Dangle this little carrot and then maybe pick him to play against the Barbarians and then just go, yeah, mate, psych! And DC's just like, what? He's like, gotcha! Yeah, not only did you not get to go to Monaco and, you know, go on the piss for the week and live your dream, I've put you in fucking fitness camp for a week, played against the Barbars, and then fucked you off out of it.
That would be genius.
What if that happens?
I mean, it would be unfortunate for DC, but it'd be fucking brilliant. Like.
So that's a comeback for DC. So the door's been opened for him. But what about the DRC? Is this slightly enabling a comeback for you, mate? Carl Sinclair's injured. you've had the season of your life. Well, yeah, I would actually say the season of your life. Come on, they need a bit of experience out there. What if the beaver turns around and goes, Coley Bear, you fancy it?
I'll be like, is my mate Joe, is my mate Joe, does he need someone to help him, or is he retired again for the ninth time, as I read in the media this week?
I see what you're doing here. The classic deflection. Mate, if he said, Coley, fancy coming on tour, you've been playing some great rugby, yes or no?
Well, you'd never say no, would you, Joe?
Oh, good.
It's a hypothetical that's not going to happen, so...
Yeah, no, I was just playing out the hypothetical, but all I'm saying is that, you know, that DC's been called back. There might be another, you know, DC coming.
Another DC, Sips, and then Daz Crompton, and then...
Danny Crewcock. Oh, fuck. Danny Crewcock? Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Danny Cock Grew. Oh, my God. Have I only just known that if you turn his surname around, Danny Cock Grew. Danny's Cock Grew. Fucking hell. Anyway.
Would you say that to his face?
Not a chance. No, not a chance. He used to scare the fucking life out of me. Oh. Oh. Hang on. Oh my God, talking to DCs. Sup, Shags? Where are you?
We're in Walnut, mate. What are you doing?
I'm busy.
What are you doing?
Slagging you off.
What on?
Right, we've had a question on your Instagram, which is going from strength to strength. I believe you are up to 5,763 followers as of today. Give it another month, mate, we'll be up to 10,000. Give it a year, we'll be up to 500,000 at least. And then you can be like, yeah, you want me to
turn on the Christmas lights in Leicester? Awesome.
Yeah, you want me to promote your dog carrying slings? Yeah, I'll do that. We have had a question on your Instagram from Suze Smith. I'm trying to picture her voice. Hello, Dan. Bracket, Joe. Unbracket. Hope you're well. My friend and I are big rugby fans. Come on, you Queens. And I've had a burning question for years. What do rugby players do in order to protect their willies during a game? Do you wear padded boxers? Do you tuck them under or wrap them in bubble wrap? Looking forward to hearing from you. Kind regards, BB and Suzanne.
I often sort of tie it around the top of my thigh, just so it stays out of the way. But, yeah.
It's just there. Like, it's so insignificant that I have no issues with needing to put it anywhere. The only time that I have had a semi-worry... I've been semi-worried in a game. It was a few years back, and the second row had, like, pulled really hard. You know when they bind between your leg, and then they pulled up really hard, rather than keeping their shoulder connected to your arse to power through, they, like, pulled up. And I had this weird sensation, and I stood up. I was like, fucking hell, that's weird. And as I felt down there through my shorts, I was like, fuck, my nuts are gone. They'd completely vanished. And I panicked. I swear to God, mate, it was panicked. Put my hands down my shorts, fucking hell, completely empty sack. And I was like, where are they then? They've not been fucking Buck Shelford ripped off or anything like that. And then just above where your pubes are, your pubic bone or whatever it is, I felt these two lumps, and they'd been tucked up. They'd been like tucked up there, and I had to pop them back down. And I was like, fuck it, the relief.
When you popped them, did you, like, what did you have to do? Hold your nose and go...
Fucking ridiculous. But that's the only time I've really had a bit of an issue, a bit of a panic. You ever lost your nuts in a scrum?
No, I haven't.
Oh no.
You were like one of those monks, weren't you? One of those monks that tucks their testicles inside them so they can take a shot to the groin.
The time has come, one of my favourite times, and it's for you to do the ad break. Go.
These are the ads.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Those were the ads.
Okay, that'll do.
I do actually remember one time, just slightly off script, my only real penis worry was during a game, was the second row behind me, he wasn't the most flexible, and he basically, as the scrum went forward, his arse went in the air, and he pulled back, and he literally pulled my dick out in front of a semi-full cat stand at the Tigers. So I then had to like drop my bind in the loose end and literally just put it on my crotch to save the embarrassment of being exposed in front of 18,000 people in that, or whatever it is, 10,000 in that stand. So
I imagine it's like that picture that went round of Paul Scholes, and I can't ever work out whether it's real or not, but you know, he's falling over and his knob falls out. That's what I'm picturing.
So, Joe, have you got any plans for your off-season break?
I am looking to book a holiday. First holiday away in fuck knows how long, Coley, with all the COVID stuff over the couple of years and travelling and testing and jabs, etc., etc. But so I'm just trying to sort that out. I've also got a shit ton of fucking DIY that I need to do that you can never... You're always like, yeah, I'll do that, yeah, during the season. Then you're knackered back from training, or you've got a game and you're all always putting it off, and then your wife's just looking at you constantly disapprovingly like, you are so shit at DIY. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I am. Yes, I am. That's why I put it off. But it's also because I'm fucking shattered. So I'm going to muster up the motivation to sort the house out, do all that bit. What about you? We get 5 weeks. It's quite a long time, actually.
I am going to regrout my patio, and that's about it.
You personally are going to regrout your patio?
Yeah, well, it's got like paving slabs, so but all the slabs, all the sort of, they're starting to move because the grouting's come out of it and that kind of stuff. So there's a few that need lifted up and you know, rebedding, and then the rest of it, I'll try and yeah, put, you know, like a sand cement mix in it and make it solid.
You sound as handy at DIY as I am. I think we should do a DIY podcast.
What my plan is I'm hoping my dad will come round to offer some assistance. He will then, I'll be that bad, he'll be like, oh, fucking, this is how you do it. You lift the slabs, I'll do it. And I'll be like, I'm really learning here, Dad. Hopefully, if we do a good job, when I have to do it for another 25 years, job's done. Thanks very much. So, yeah, I'll make the teas, shall I? I'll get the teas, Dad. So, yeah, that's the plan.
What's your old man's name?
David.
Oh, DRC. What's his middle name?
Edwin. So he's DEC. So that's why I'm DRC, because my dad's, he's scientist, he's like DC as well. So he's DEC and I'm DRC.
So your dad's called Deck, but if you say it in an Australian or Kiwi accent, your dad's name is Dick.
And my middle name is Richard, which you've shortened is Dick. So
there's just going to be a pair of dicks regrounding your patio.
Dick everywhere.
Well, that sounds absolutely riveting.
No, there'll be no rivets involved.
Oh,
no rivets involved, Joe.
What about a holiday? You going on holiday with the boys and Belle?
Yes, we've actually... well, this is the thing. We booked it about a year ago, thinking that the off season was something, so I actually got Centre Park, so it's kind of like, oh, we'll book it. And this was before like playoffs and stuff, so it's like, oh, we can go to Centre Park. So we're literally going to the one in Nottingham, because it's like, at the time we booked it, it's like, I'm probably going to be in pre season, so then I can just swing, you know, I can do commute. But the boys are in school for the first couple of weeks of the holiday, which is, and education is very important, so that's when I'll be doing my dick and they'll be in school. But yeah, now we've got a holiday planned. They're looking forward to the, whatever it is, tropical zone. So bug lugs here will be chasing them round. Fucking hell. It's like, it's not a holiday. It's not going to be a holiday. Like, this is what you find out with kids, don't you? There's no holiday with kids. It's like, I remember going to Croatia with the boys. Like, we went there before COVID, and you got there, and we got the first 2 days. Like, there's a bit of time difference. They were, you know, I think we had to get up at 4:30 for the flight. We get up. It's like, oh, they'll sleep in the car. They didn't. They're wide awake the entire way to the airport. Wide awake the entire part of the flight. We then landed, and Ralph lost his shit for the final 20 minutes. He's only about 1 year old or 2 years old, but just bawling his eyes out for the final 20 minutes of the flight. Like, just since landing, it's quiet. Then, as soon as we landed, he fell asleep. I was asleep for the next 2 hours. The whole through, I had to carry him. I couldn't even put him in his thing. I had to carry him through the airport like this while he's asleep. We then got to Croatia. We didn't have any, like, we weaned him off, like, baby milk, powder milk. So, oh, they just drink the stuff there. They didn't like the milk in Croatia. They didn't want to eat. It was like 2 days in, me and Bella, like, should we just fly home? Because this is the worst. Like, this is dreadful. Like, listen, the kids aren't eating. They're grizzly all the time. They're not sleeping.
Should we just leave them here? Let's go home.
And it was kind of like, actually, third day we were there, it flicked. So they sort of, they'd eat their food, they enjoy it. They go, like, they just slept. And you're just like, oh my, like, actually enjoyed the holiday. But I just remember, like, the first couple of days just being like, no, just, I want to go home, but I don't want to face that flight going home.
Oh, fuck me, Dad. Well, it sounds like you've got a lovely off-season planned, and hopefully you can do it all with a Premiership Rugby Winners medal around your neck. But before we get there, I need you to do something for me. And it gives me great, great pleasure to announce, before you announce, announcing this, can you read out the final fixture of the year, please, Daniel?
I can. It gives me
don't fuck it
great
up
great pleasure to announce the final of the Guinness. Should we go the Gallagher? It's the Gallagher Premiership.
You fucked it already!
Oh, I fucked it.
He can do it. I can understand why you've struggled with all the fucking lists before. Only marginally understand it. You've got one fixture, one fucking final fixture to read out, and you still fucked it. You literally said 5 minutes ago, education's important. That's why I'm not taking the boys out of school early.
That's why, so they can read properly and not fuck things up. Yeah, the fixture is Leicester Tigers versus Saracens at Twickenham Stadium, 3 p.m. Tickets still available.
Are they?
Maybe.
Thank you ever so much. Thanks
for
listening
to
our
cauliflower.
No, fifth. You meant to say fifth.
All right. I thought our cauliflower club podcast. There. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Right. So, thanks for listening to our fifth instalment of the.
Just say fifth.
Cauliflower.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, all right. Fifth
instalment
of
the
cauliflower
club
podcast.
We hope you enjoyed it. Fuck, we've really enjoyed it, so we hope you've enjoyed it. Oh god. The next regular episode of the Joe Marler Show is out on Wednesday, and Tom will be back, and we'll be talking to a TV presenter, someone who presents TV, who you need to fucking speak to a little bit more, Coley, just in terms of speaking, please.
Yes sir. Aye aye, captain.
See you, Sheriff. Take care, mate.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong. Sports Social Podcast Network.